back here?
Yeah.
All right. And when you, I don't have any fancy slides like these other guys.
There it goes.
Okay. Has anybody seen this video before? This is the holy grail of the cotton gin. So, where's the pointer? You got a kind of pointer here? You got one?
Use the mouse or
recorder.
Right.
This way.
Yeah.
This way.
Okay.
Well, I won't work either.
All right.
You're going to
okay.
Push that button, right?
I'm very inexperienced with this. Okay. This is where everything's happening, right here. And right here. As you will see, we're going to go through this. Of course, I got my spiel, but this is where I'm going to let this run for a while. And if anybody wants to take a picture, if you hadn't seen it, you know, it's pretty interesting. But you'll see the seed falling down here. You'll see the lint coming around and brushing off. Here's his brush, brushing it off into the, where's it going? Let's see, going this way?
Yep.
All right, and then this is your cotton coming in, feeding around. And then how to start it, every time I punch it again?
Yeah.
Well, they can see it, that's fine. Anybody wants to watch it later, we can.
How many hard times you got to hit that thing?
And then how to move it to the other slides? Okay, now how to move it to the other slides, right here? Okay.
I got you.
Okay. All right. This is two, and before I talk, I'll show this, that this is the ribs that most everybody uses now. This is a Vandergriff Loomis rib. I think this is a picture of a Loomis rib that with an insert in it. And this is an old Continental rib or a rib patterned on Americontinental style. And this little edge right here is very important. This cut out here is what would I call a relief point, a relief slot, and a relief slot on this one kind of goes up and down. So this is... Y'all watch this, these are some of the holes that I'm going to be talking about right here. These relief holes, and let's see where we go again here. That's some other ribs looking at them from a different angle, and this is another same thing. That's in the gin stand, and let's see. These are actually some fabricated ribs, and I'll go over those a little bit. Now, that's all right. Whoops, sorry. All right. Good afternoon. Happy New Year. I may counteract some of Dr. Borland's findings. I'm from Tennessee. Maybe we just can't grow big seed in Tennessee. I don't know, but I'm glad he didn't do his research on Tennessee because, in my opinion, we do have seed that are getting smaller. Harrison, thank me. Thanks for asking me, but I do think seed are getting smaller. I think lower seed weight. I've known this for several years, and in my opinion, it's a whole lot bigger problem than I think most generous realize. And let me say, kind of make a case that 20 years ago, and this kind of goes along with Dr. Borland, that 25 years ago. We were getting 825, 850 pounds of seed per bale of cotton. 10, 15 years ago, we dropped that down to 730 pounds or so that we were getting for a bale of cotton per bale. And then today, we're around the 600, 650 pound range. And even on some of the newer varieties, the 17 varieties and varieties coming down the pipeline, I'm hearing 500 pounds of seed. And that just scares you as being a ginner. I am also a producer. Another example of why I think seed are getting smaller, we do grow a lot of cotton. Planting seed today are visibly smaller. When you pour a sack of seed in a planter, you can just look at them, and if it's smaller, I'm saying it's smaller, you know. If you can go back to these tags on the bag, so to speak, or we don't use many bags now, it's all the little black hoppers that cost you about $10,000 a piece. But you'll see in a pound of seed now, the seed count's about 6,000 seed per pound. 6,000 seed per pound. That's on the new 17 varieties. Back during the Delta Pine 20 and 50 days, 25 years ago, we were in the 4,000 to 4,500 pound per, excuse me, 4,500 seed per pound. So I just wanted to, use those examples of the old 50s and 20s that the seed were big and they're just not there anymore. We're not seeing them. And I'm sure this has a lot to do with varieties and the years that they're grown. Seed are definitely getting smaller, in my opinion. One reason Harrison put me on this panel was we had, 2 years ago, we had an extremely huge problem of losing seeds. A lot of guys that I pulled in to try to help me fix that problem, we had changed gens, and we were pumping some seed out the little relief holes. Some of these guys have seen this firsthand, and I think you can back me up on that, so it's no doubt we were losing seed. So a lot of this small seed that we're getting, this panel's getting talked about, I'm going to talk about how we were losing seed and how big of a problem it can be. At one time, we were losing as much as 3,000 pounds of seed per shift, and I was actually catching that many in a little old makeshift deal that I put on my moat press, and instead of going in the moat press, we were catching tub after tub of seed. A lot of it was good seed, a lot of it was just meats, but we were catching about four of those a shift, and they were weighing about 780 pounds. So anyway, seed loss, is it because of the smaller seed? And really I say no, I don't think that's entirely it. But the small seed compared with combined with some other mechanical issues kind of flipped the switch. In other words, so to speak, it flipped the switch. So we started losing seed that 2014, I believe it was. And, of course, it was after we realized we had such a problem, the search was on for a cause and a cure. So as a gen manager out there, or as a genner, you listening to me, you'd say, well, where are these gens, you know, losing the seed? And I wonder where the seed are coming from, and I'm sure glad my gen's not losing seed. Well, maybe you are, and we know that how valuable seed volume is to the profit of the gen, just like Dr. Borland said. And we certainly don't want to be spitting seed out into the trash or into the moats. So let's look at where this seed is going. I know it's smaller, or I think it is, and you know, what's causing it? The seed are smaller, and yes, we are losing them. So let me start to go further on where we think they're coming from and what's causing it. And I may step on some toes here, because I've been coming to this thing for 25, 30 years in not hardly any of the manufacturers, any of the manufacturers will complain or say anything about any other the manufacturers' systems, or, you know, if you get it, you got to get it on your own, because they don't complain much about the other people's, other industries' shortcomings. But let me say this, I may be stepping on some toes and what I'm going to reveal, but just to clarify, I'm not kind of like Bill Mayfield. I'm not selling anything. Don't expect a profit in any way. But I do feel that revealing this new problem that a lot of you have it, probably a lot of you don't even know you got it. So let's go to the cause. The relatively new problem that I think is caused by the need for speed. And you know where that probably term come from. I think it was one of the movies I think it was... Tom Cruise. Top Gun, that's it. Because generals want everything bigger and faster. And the industry, they responded. I mean, they get you what you want, you know, if you got the money. Let me say this for example. Say on a 96-inch gen stand, frame's been around, that 8-foot frame's been around a long time. and it was designed for 119 saws, okay? And we have leapfrogged that, the industry has, we've leapfrogged that 8-foot stand into almost 200 saws now. So at the same time, horsepowers went from 30 horsepower to almost 200. I think I'm looking at one here, may have some 250 horsepowers on an 8-foot stand. So, that's five times what the thing was originally designed for. And even on top of the, this has happened over a 50, 60 year period, they've jumped the horsepower up four or five times, and now they put agitator motors on them to make the seed roll keep turning, and you got 5 or 10 horsepower there, and in some cases you got 5 or 10 horsepower on both ends, The result of all of this has created a monster, I think. It's contributed to our seed loss. It has caused tremendous pressures in the seed row due to the stronger agitation and the horsepower. We've got twice the saws. We've got twice the ribs. We've got twice the relief holes in the ribs. And we've got all this horsepower the modern gens clean the seed extremely well. There's less lint on the seed after the ginning process, and that creates a more flowable seed. So those seed are easier to find a hole. And for lack of a better term, flowable is all I come up with. And finally, the smaller seed are extruded, in my opinion, through those. I'm touching this as I go, and I didn't mean to touch it. But they're being extruded through these holes. And of course, this is my opinion, and I think that's a problem that we've got to figure out what to do with. Now, some of these lost seed go into the moats, the upper moatings. They make it way into your lint stream, but some make it into your lint stream and hopefully can be removed by the lint cleaners. You may first detect the problem when seed is popping out in front of you in the lint cleaners. You got a cup of coffee going down there, and they'll pop out and fill your coffee cup up if you're not careful. If you've got super jets on your stands, what's the percentage of super jets, Joe?
It's a high percentage.
It's a high percentage. So if you've got super jets behind your gens, and say that's a 70-80%. Probably everybody's got super jets. You're not going to ever see these seeds. You got super jets going to take 99% of them out. You need to check and make sure wherever that super jet's emptying its trash that you don't have seed in it. Another red flag that we're losing a lot of seed is just the fact that moat buyers are now buying gen stands so that they can run this stuff again and get the seed out of it. And reclaim that seed. This is a problem most generally don't worry about because they just they're in the office taking care of other problems. Gen managers got up the pressing issues and don't notice a problem unless maybe gender comes in. So we got a lint cleaner spitting seed. Trying to pinpoint the cause is always a problem, but it's got to be coming from those ribs most of the time. We all know that we don't need to be getting any seed into our lint. And entering those lint cleaners. I just say a combination of small seed configured with these large relief holes. And the difference that I want to kind of show everybody is that the old Continental Murray gen had this humpback on it. I don't know is anybody got to know that there's a name for that? Russell, anybody know? Is there a name for that? It's kind of like a hip bone sticking out there, but it's... I'm doing good.
We didn't have a name.
We don't have a name for it.
Okay. That Bill Mayfield talked about, the three-bound thing on history of the gen.
Right.
Has a very good detail of the evolution of the gen from different companies. It's pretty fascinating stuff in there, and gives a lot of the background from the 30s and 40s and 50s when they were doing gen.
Let's see. Try to find out where. All right, let's see, combination of small seed, configuration of relief holes, and the pressure in the gen row of the contributing factors, the losing seed. That's the bad news. And actually, there is some good news. This is a relatively easy fix, I think, for a complex small seed loss dilemma. In my personal experience, we changed and modified the design of the ribs and eliminated this seed loss. Almost, I'd say 90% of what we were losing, we're not losing anymore. We're still losing a little bit, and I think there's still room for improvement. But let's look at, we'll look at these slides a little bit more. We've already done that. And this is what genners do. You know, we fix problems. We fix what we can during the gen season, go through the stuff at the next year to fix whatever we can. So I decided that I after losing all these seed, I decided that I was going to try some of the old continental ribs, see if I could come up with something that would cure that. So I actually took this is the gins that I've got now, and I actually took a piece of keystock and built about 40 ribs, and I made them, and there they are. These are handcrafted ribs now, and these are made on a consolidated gin. And you'll see that I took the same rib, it had a piece of keystock, rounded off. I didn't do a very good job cutting the length, as you see, but those are made more like, because I've been on continentals for 25 years, so I said I didn't lose seed then, you know, when I had these ribs. I was losing some seeds some years, but I didn't know why I was losing them with some gins. But I did have a wheel fit type rib in there that was made on the Vandegrift tile style rib or built for a continental gin. But I didn't know why those gins were losing seed. And I did have on two of my gins, I did have a super jet or something kind of like one. And I wouldn't lose seed on them. It was hard to pinpoint. But after we got these new gin stands and all four of them losing seed, then I went back, put about 40 of these ribs in the center of the gin, and Royce and them come up. Were you in that group, Royce, that come in and brought a camera? Or was that
Russell?
And y'all put a camera in behind, and this little spot of 40 ribs or so was not losing as much seed. So Loomis and Consolidated did come up with a fix that we put a different set of ribs in,